Thank the Lord this morning for His faithfulness to us. Interested this morning in reality. Reality is the state of things that are real, things that are true. We live in a world where many people try to invent, they might call it an alternate reality. Something that's fanciful, imaginative, something that's made up, something that's notional. Sometimes you children make up stories and it's not reality. Sometimes adults make up stories. It's not reality. Sometimes they're people's perception of things. Sometimes it's what they would like to be. To a large extent, you know, that's Facebook for some people is an alternate reality. I'll just put the good up. Won't put the whole thing up, just put what looks good. In other people, it might be they just put the bad up, as if everything's bad in life. Everything's not bad in life, and there are challenges that everybody faces, but reality is what's real and what's true. And we know, when we know what is real and we know what is true, that is what I want to make my decisions based on. I don't want to base my decisions this morning on things that are not accurate. I don't want to build my life on religions of men. I don't want to base the decisions that I make based on what people have come up with themselves, another church, another organization, another religious institution. But I want to build my life and make decisions on what is real. And what is real and what God has given us in His Word is what is true and what is right and what is real this morning. So I would like us to consider the subject this morning of the reality of an afterlife. There is something coming after this life is over, and there is a reality to it. There have been people that have written books about what is going to happen after we die. There have been people that postulate that nothing's going to happen after we die. But we're going to look in the Word of God, and I want to remind all of us this morning, wherever we are in our walk with God, that there is an afterlife. That what we experience in this time world is going to come to an end, and that there is a life after death. There is going to be something that is going to take place when we die. And I want to make the decisions for this life with the knowledge that there is eternity ahead of me. There is something that I don't want to make my decisions based on what just I want to do for today. But I want to consider that there is going to be a tomorrow. And that means then that we need to look into the Word of God. And Peter did this when he wrote in the 2 Peter, in the 3rd chapter, in the epistle, he was writing to stir up the minds of the audience, those that he was writing to. And that's what we would, by the help of the Lord, do this morning on the reality of an afterlife. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "This second epistle, beloved." In other words, I'm writing this to people that I love and care for, and I just want to let all of you know this morning that I love each and every one of you, and I care about you, and I believe that is the reason, because of God's love for us, that He sends reminders to us. He said, I want you to know I love you, and I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and by the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and the Savior. I want to share with you, he was saying something to stir up your pure minds. I want you to remember something. And we can come to service and thank you. We can come to service and we can go to church, as we call it, and we can say that we are following the things of God. But in all of our following, in all of our doing, in all of our thinking, let's stir up our pure minds this morning. And this is what he had to say: knowing this first, that there will come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. And what he was saying is that there are going to be those that say, where is the promise of the coming back of Jesus? Is Jesus going to come back? Just like he came, he was born, and he lived, and he died on the cross, and he ascended back to heaven. As an assurance, Jesus is going to come back. And when he comes back, this is what's going to happen. He said, whereby the world that then was overflowed with water in the days of Noah, he said, the heaven and the earth, which now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And then he goes on to say in that next verse, that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. And that is the purpose and the desire of the Lord, that we all come to a place of repentance, but the day of the Lord. And this is what Peter was getting to. Peter was coming to the place that he said, I want to remind you of something. There's a lot of people that say, when's the Lord going to come back? And we have people today that do not believe that the Lord is going to come back. But the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. And when he comes back, it says here that the heavens shall pass away. He's talking about the aerial heavens. The aerial heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? This morning, the afterlife is a reality. It's not just a made-up story of something that's going to happen. Jesus is going to come back to usher us into the judgment. And this world, this earth, this aerial heavens is going to be burned up. It's going to melt with a fervent heat, and it is going to be no more. And Peter was saying, with that knowledge, with that understanding, what manner of persons ought you to be? In the decisions that we make this morning, let's do it with the knowledge of the reality of an afterlife. The decisions and the choices, the things we do, the places we go, the things that we feed upon, and most importantly, where we place our love, remember there is an afterlife. There is another day that's coming. We live in a generation that is living so selfishly. We live in a time where there is so much rebellion in our world today. There's rebellion against authority. There's rebellion against God's authority. Young people and children are rebellious against their parents. They're rebelling against what the Bible teaches. And I want to remind us this morning that there is another day coming. There is a day coming that we are all going to stand before the Lord. And if you are ready to meet God this morning, do you realize that this should be a comforting message? If you love the Lord, if you have passed through the blood of Jesus this morning, it should be a comfort to you to know that there's a day coming when the Lord is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, there's a lot of doctrines that have been brought out of prophecy on these subjects. But again, I want to remind us, when you study the Bible and you study prophecy, always come back to the basic teachings of Christ. There is no interpretation of Revelation that will contradict the simple teaching of Jesus. So with that as a preface, over in John in the 5th chapter, in the 28th verse, John chapter 5, verse 28, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, the time is coming." And I know I preached a message at Monarch that brought out a few similar thoughts, but I want us to know this morning that since that message was preached last July, the coming of the Lord Jesus is even closer. The Lord is, the time is nigh at the door when the Lord is going to be at the door and He's going to say it's time. And time is going to be finished as we know it, and we will be ushered into eternity. Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice." He did not say that it was just the righteous. He did not say it was just the unrighteous. He said all that are in the grave will hear His voice and shall come forth. All there will be a resurrection of the dead, not just of the righteous, but of the unrighteous. And He said, "They shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." We are taught in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter that this mortal, this fleshly body must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. There is a reality of the afterlife. When Jesus comes back, there is going to be a resurrection when we will all come out of the grave, and there will be some type of another body that the Lord is going to give us that is going to last forever. But He said here there was a separation. He said, "Those that have done good unto the resurrection of life." This morning, if you have been saved from your sin and you have passed through the blood of Jesus, you can look forward to the coming back of Jesus. We sing this song and my heart rejoices. I am waiting. I am longing for the summons to come. I am looking forward this morning to the time when Jesus comes back. I am looking forward to the time when the Lord says it is finished. I'm not looking forward to the destruction. I am not looking forward to those that are going to be lost, but I am looking forward to enter into the joy of the Lord. I'm looking forward to the end and the cessation of the grief of this world. I'm looking forward to all the burdens that we carry in this life. I'm looking forward to all those being lifted, going into the presence of the Lord, where the book of Revelation says that in heaven there would be no more tears. There would be no more dying. There would be no separation from loved ones when we're in heaven. There's not going to be any more sickness. There's not going to be any more cancer. There's not going to be any more sin around us. There's not going to be any more grief. The Lord has prepared a reality for us. This is real this morning. There's going to be a resurrection of the good, those that have passed through the blood. And understand this, it was not because your last name, because you're a Sorrel or you're a Smith or you're a Bird or you're a Cook or you're a... Those things don't matter what our last name is this morning. It doesn't matter what our spiritual pedigree is, except that we have passed through the blood of Jesus and been forgiven of our sin. And when Jesus comes back, He's going to be looking for those that have been gone through the blood, and He's going to stand with us before the Father and say, "That's one of mine. He passed through the blood." Thank the Lord. So there's going to be a resurrection. And this also is what was taught in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There have been a lot of false doctrines that have come out of that passage of Scripture. The Scripture says that when Jesus comes back at the last trump, it says the dead in Christ shall what? Will rise first, and then those that remain will rise to be caught up with Him in the air. That's talking about an ascension with Christ up to the judgment, which would pass us on to heaven. Do you realize this morning that that was not dealing with the unrighteous? If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, He was talking to the saints, and He said, "We don't mourn as those that have no hope." He was encouraging the saints of God. I want you to remember that Jesus is going to come back. And when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a resurrection. All those that have done good and have loved the Lord Jesus are going to rise out of the grave, and everybody that is righteous is going to go up and be caught with Jesus up in the air. Thank the Lord that Jesus is going to usher us to the judgment because we're one of His. He was not addressing in that passage what would happen to the unrighteous, but Jesus in John chapter 5 did. He said the hour is coming when everyone is going to hear His voice, and there will be a resurrection of the good unto life. But He didn't stop there. He said, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That is talking about the final resurrection of all people, good and bad, righteous and unrighteous. But when He comes back, it is a comfort to know that He has a place that is prepared, and it's a place called heaven. It's a place of joy, and it's not just spirits floating around. We are going to have a quality of life because we will have a glorified body. I want to go. You want to go? And I want to say this, when the Lord gave me this message, I have been praying, Lord, I want to be ready. So I don't want you to think I'm preaching something different to you. I'm getting my portion. Lord, when you come back, I want to be ready to go. And if there are things in my life, Lord, that I need to adjust, then Lord, adjust me. Lord, I don't want to, because I want the Lord to come back and I want to be prepared. I want to say to each one of you, young and old alike, this morning, are you ready for the Lord to come back? Are you ready? Because it's reality. It's a reality of an afterlife. And so he said that there would be a resurrection of damnation. The scripture in Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, what? The judgment. You know, that's a reality this morning. And maybe you came to service this morning, said, I just want to hear about love. And I want to be warmed. Come back. But I also want to deal with facts. I want to deal with reality. And my job this morning is not to make you feel comfortable. My job is to tell you what the Lord said. There is a judgment coming. And that is real. It's real for me. And it's real for you. And so I want to live this short life that I have with the knowledge that there is an eternity. And I don't want to live my life based on what feels good to the flesh at the moment in sin. But I want to say, Lord, I want to come and experience your joy in my life now, but I want to live with the knowledge that there is a reality of eternity. And so there is going to be a judgment where we will all stand, as it says in the 20th chapter of Revelation, verse 12, that we will stand before the great, maybe it's applicable that this is white up here this morning. We will stand before the great white throne, and it said that we would be judged out of the books. There is a book of life, and there's a book of works. And what that lets us know is the Lord knows every single thing about us. There are some things about me that you don't know and you don't understand. And there's things about you that we don't know and we don't understand. But the Lord knows exactly where each one of us are this morning. He knows how we're living. He knows where our heart is. He knows if our heart is to the things of the world, or He knows if our heart is for the things of God. And we're going to be judged out of that book. And when that time comes, I would start by asking us this, is our name in the Lamb's Book of Life? This is those that have passed through the blood. Those that have asked the Lord to forgive them of their sin. Those that have said, Lord, it's not just about coming to church service. It's not just about having a profession. It's about, Lord, I've given my life to you and I've been forgiven of my sin. Do you know if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can look forward to the coming back of Jesus Christ. You don't have to live in fear of the reality of the afterlife. And it's not because of our righteousness this morning. It's not because I prayed 30 minutes longer than you did, or I put an extra $50 in the offering more than you, or you fasted a little bit more than me. It's not about the works of our righteousness, because we can't be good enough to earn our salvation. It is because of the work that Jesus Christ did in our life. And this morning, if you have not opened up your heart and allowed the Lord to come in and transform your life, He wants to do that. There is a reality of the afterlife. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, your future is very bleak this morning. But if you will accept Christ as your Savior, and when you have done that, I was here last night working on some other stuff, but I took time to come and I wanted to break this altar in. This is a new altar. I broke it in for y'all. I made a path down here. There's no disgrace to come, and I prayed. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I don't want the things of this world to hinder me. I don't want a wrong attitude. I don't want a wrong affection. I don't want a wrong something in my life. I want to be clear before God, and I want to be ready for that great day when He comes back. Over in the book of Matthew 25, Jesus painted a picture. We won't take the time to read it, but He painted a picture of the sheep and the goats. And I know some of y'all, Evan, I don't know a lot about sheep and goats, but I don't want y'all to think I don't have any knowledge, but because I can look at a goat, I can look at Evan's goats and say, yeah, that's a goat. And I can look at Justin's sheep, yeah, that's a sheep. But I have been places in other countries that I didn't know if it was a sheep or a goat. They look so similar, and I don't know if you all have that in the U.S. or not. But I know in Pakistan and some places in Africa, I've seen stuff, and it's like I thought they were sheep, and then they told me they were goats, and I was like, oh. I get a lesson from that. The scripture in Matthew 25 says Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goats. And He's going to put the goats on His left hand and the sheep on His right hand. You know, I might be disguised as a sheep, but I might really be a goat. I might have a profession, but the Lord knows what's in my heart. That's the reality this morning, is the Lord knows where our heart is this morning. You don't have to convince me. I remember someone had some different theological understanding, and it made a real difference practically in how they were living their life. And they called me to their home time after time and wanted to talk about this issue. And I told them, I said, you don't need my approval. Yes, I disagreed with what they believed. I disagreed with how they were living. I disagreed. But they didn't have to get my approval. I said, if the Lord approves of what you're doing, that's what matters. You don't have to have my stamp of approval. As your pastor, you don't have to have my stamp of approval. Do you know this morning the Lord knows where we are today? He knows how we're living. We might be able to fool one another, but He knows where our heart is. And if we haven't been saved, do we have a clear testimony of salvation this morning? Can we stand up and say, I'm saved? I'm not just a church goer. I'm not just someone that's kind of interested and on the fringes. I've given my heart to the Lord, and I've started for heaven by the power of God. If we can't say that this morning, the Lord has given us another opportunity to come and say, Lord, I want that experience. I want You to save me. I want to know I'm clear. Maybe I'm not quite sure where I'm at. There is an experience this morning that we can know where we are. We can know that I'm saved. We can know that if the Lord comes back, I can say, by the power of God, I'm ready to go. We can know that. But there's going to be a judgment when He separates them. And what He said in the book of Matthew in 41, when He puts the goats on His left hand, He's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell is a reality this morning. And I know people, hell's not real popular anymore. Hell's not real popular anymore. People would rather think about heaven or just about something else. But it is a reality that there is a place for those that have rejected God. And may I also add, for your information, if you're not aware of it, the Lord is a just God. People say, how can God send people to hell? God does not send people to hell. He's only giving out according to the choices that we are making. Our soul is in our hands this morning. It's our decision how we want to live our life, but there are consequences. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And he said then that again about hell, the scripture says that those that have knowledge that don't do it will be beaten with many stripes. That was in the parable of the servants. And he said those that did not know the will of the master, they would be beaten with few stripes. Do you realize that hell is not going to be exactly the same for every individual? There is no such thing as good hell. Don't misunderstand me. Hell is a place of the absence of God. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. There is a place of punishment and there's a place of torment. But something that I struggled with as a child because I didn't understand. It's like, what about people that have never heard about Jesus? And they're going to go to hell? That doesn't seem fair. God is a fair God. God is a just God. And those that had no opportunity to know of the saving grace of God will not experience it like we will this morning. But let's deal with reality. We have knowledge here this morning, don't we? We know there's a Savior. We know there's a place we can be forgiven. We know there's a way of holiness. And so that means that hell is a place of eternal darkness and pain and separation, and there's no hope. That's one of the things about hell. There's no hope. When we go through rough times in this life, it's like weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That's talking about the Lord coming back. That's to His people. We go through tears of this life, but just hold on. If you're weary this morning and you're saved and you love the Lord, may I encourage you just to hold on. May I encourage you not to give up this morning. If the future looks a little bleak physically and financially and temporally and maybe in relationships and all of these things that touch our life, may I encourage you this morning just to cling hard to the Lord. Because weeping is part of this life, but joy is going to come when the Lord comes back. There, I'm looking forward to it. Joy comes in the morning, but that's if we pass through the blood. For those that have not, hell is going to be a place of suffering. It's going to be a place of torment. We read about over in the Luke in the 16th chapter, and to save time, I thought we'd have time to read it, but we don't this morning. So we read about the rich man and Lazarus. And in all theological correctness, that is talking about the place of departed spirits before heaven and before hell. But the essence of the message still was that if we are not saved and we are not living right, it said the rich man, and it wasn't because he had money, okay? It wasn't because he had money. It was because he had rejected God. It said in hell, Hades, place of departed spirits, he lifted up his eyes, and it says, being in torment. May I impress upon us this morning, you children and you young people, that if you choose not to serve Jesus Christ, hell is a reality. It's real. It's a place where there's no more hope. See, God is love. You know, hell is a place there's no love. It's one of the things I see about rebellious teenagers. They still know mom and dad love me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They know mom and dad still love me. There's a place to come home to. But when we die in hell, there's no place to go home. No other opportunity to say, I'm sorry. I wish I would have done it differently. That's today. That's this time, this life. the Lord is giving us opportunity to make our peace with Him, to be ready for the reality of an afterlife. And it said Lazarus was up in Abraham's bosom, enjoying a wonderful goodness and the blessings of God in heaven. So, you have your wedding garment on this morning. See, this is a message of encouragement. It's also a message of warning. We have a lively hope that one day these temptations and these trials, it's going to be over. So hold on, saints. Hold on. We have a lot of heavy burdens right now in the gospel work. I told Renee and Vanessa last night, I said, the scripture says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, I'm waiting for that due season, it said, you shall reap if you faint not. I want to encourage all of you, you young people, don't believe the lie of the devil that sin makes it better. It doesn't in this life most of the time, but definitely the reality in the afterlife, the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation, pain and torment and darkness, and no hope for change. And it was not God that sent you there. He was honoring the decisions that we are making in this life. So, we could say, sum it up, preacher. I'll sum it up. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Have you noticed when children get grown and they're sitting around at those family reunions? Yeah, well, mom and dad didn't know this, and they start telling things they didn't tell it when they were younger, but they got old enough. Not just in their 20s. Sometimes it took a little longer for them to say, well, this is what I did. Do you know when we stand before the judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, is going to be made known. And so Jesus came this morning that we could have life. Jesus came to this world that you could be saved and that I could be saved. He also came that in my struggles, even after I got saved, that I could come back to Him and say, Lord, I need some help right here. The world's got a little bit too much of a hold here. Or I've got something in my life I'm really struggling with, Lord, to forgive. Or I'm struggling with an attitude. Or, Lord, I'm really being tempted here. And the Lord is there to help us out. And there is no disgrace this morning to come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to be sure. I want to be strengthened. I want everything to be clear. And I want to be fortified. This morning, God so loved the world. You can quote that, can't you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into this world to condemn them, but that the world through Him might be saved. And left to give the balance of that saving, life-giving power of Jesus, He also said in the same chapter, in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That is the reality this morning. This life is very short, and the decisions that we are making today are going to determine our eternal destiny and where we will live in the afterlife. So I will close with those three questions that are above the pulpit there on the podium at Monarch. I must die, but when? Does anybody here know? I don't know. I've taken care of funerals of stillborn babies, taken care of funerals of people in their 90s, late 90s. Death is no, does not discriminate. We're all going to die. I must meet God, but how? That is in our hands this morning. I'm going to meet God, that's reality. But are we going to meet Him saying, Lord, here I am. I will live in eternity, but where? Where are you headed this morning? Maybe we could stand and have a song. Amen.
Sing verses 1 through 3, number
411. I just want to say if the Lord's talked to your heart this morning and you would like to just come and pray, singing this song, come and be saved, it's for the sinner, but it's for the saved too. It's a place to just come and say, Lord, and if there's question or you need to be fortified, this altar is a place to meet the Lord. So if there's any need at all, I would encourage you to take the opportunity and come and seek the Lord.